Welcome to episode 357 of the Countdown Podcast, where we take you back in time. My name is Wayne.
Your name is Paul as Wayne.
You know, I actually didn't, only when the thing was running did I realize I haven't written a cold intro. That was all off the my ass.
Brilliant. Brilliant. My name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast. We count down movies and sometimes television in order of awesomeness, so you don't have to. And today is a special topic because, one, it is an oldie.
Oldie.
And because we're old.
And we're old. Huh?
And two, because we've got guests on, because we're going to do the show v show format. We've got John and Lloyd from the Pioneer Comics podcast joining us for the first time. Welcome, boys, to the countdown.
What's going on? Great to be here.
Thank you very much. Yeah, great to be here.
So let's sound off. We'll start with John, so people know your voice if they don't already. And they should know, because you should go and listen to the Pioneer Comics boys. Great show, and I've become a huge fan since guesting on. John, tell us a bit about the show and yourself.
Pioneer Comics, we are a pop culture podcast. We talk about all things pop culture. Pioneer Comics is the worst name ever because we don't talk about comics very often. It's misleading as shit, but you know what? We do talk about comics enough that it makes it worth your while. Yeah, movies, music, TV shows. We do the occasional countdown episode. Woo! You know, top five, top ten. Cool. I don't know where we got that idea from. we're in year five, so. Year five, we're having a good time.
Going strong. Well, in case of your name, obviously, then you've decided.
I stand resolute, motherfucker.
When it comes to not changing it. So well played. Well played to you. And Lloyd, how do you fit into proceedings over there on Pilot Comics?
Oh, it's great. You know, you might hear me called the Manster. I don't know if John said that. But
the Manster?
Yeah, I'm the Manster. And John might have you believe that I'm elderly. But in fact, I'm really only 1 year older than he is.
Uh-huh. No, bullshit. This guy. Oh, truth. I brag about him like he's my wife. Look at this guy. Look at this guy. You guys can see them. I know the audience can't see him.
Yeah, we can see him.
56, Lloyd? Are you 56? He's 56, this guy. And he looks better.
Not 56.
Just for the audience 55. Home. Yes. Listen, Lloyd is a very attractive man. I just want to say that right now and just get it out of the way so it's not awkward between us, okay? You definitely don't look 56, and I would totally hit that ass. So, like,
there you go. Thank you. I appreciate that. I really do.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing.
And a great hoodie going on there, too.
Yeah, he's got an Invincible hoodie on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Invincible there.
Very nice.
Good show. You've seen that. You guys like the show.
Yeah,
right?
We did. We really did. Looking forward to season two coming hopefully sometime this year.
See, you're so good looking, you can wear that thing, still get some ass. You know what I'm saying?
I'll let you know.
Okay. All right, so it's gonna be a good one today, as you can already tell. And the topic was one I think, John, that you suggested, and we jumped on as being a good one, because normally it's great to have podcasts on about our ilk era. Top 10 80s comedies. Why did you pick this topic?
Why indeed?
Because it's shit.
I think I'm just from listening to you guys, I think I'm your and Wayne's age. I'm 46, and I think I'm right there with you guys.
On.
So obviously, the 80s was very formative for me. You know, Lloyd, even being a few years older, that still obviously was formative time for him. And honestly, it's, you think about all the comedies you quote, you think about all the comedies you think about. I think there's more packed into the 80s than any other era of just pure classic. And when you ask me, it's hard because you said at the beginning of the show, this is episode 357. I've been listening for quite a long time. How the fuck are you doing all these lists? So in my head, I'm like, I just reached with that one and you said, oh, we haven't done that. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah. Well, it was so hard to do.
We don't even talk comedies on our show. It's hard to talk about.
Comedies are hard to talk about. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you end up, you're going to do what we did when we put our list together. You mentioned two or three of the best jokes, and this is why it's funny, and this is why I like it, and off you go. Yep. So that's what's going to be in store later on today. And of course, we're going to pit the Pioneer Comics lads list versus our list in our home ground territory, the Countdown Listener Community podcast. Listener Community, I should say. And you can vote there to see who has the better list at the end of the day. But in either way, we'll get to talk about a whole bunch of hopefully funny and very good films.
Damn right.
All right, we're going to do that on the other side of the segment, which kicks off every show. It's called The Recount.
Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount?
The recount is our mailroom, and Paul, what the fuck?
Well, we brought back the vote last week for episode 356, the top 10 most anticipated films of 2022.
Yeah.
And it was a super close one. And there is an uncomfortable admission in the room a little early, at least uncomfortable for me. John, what was it you said before we started recording?
I'm a member of the supposedly non-existent Wayne voting block.
Aha.
I've heard of this block, but I've never seen it. So there we are.
So my response to Wayne.
Eat my ass! Yeah,
Suck it. All right.
So the result, 28 votes to me, 27 to you. Fuck. Suck a dick.
Oh, suck a bag of dicks.
Some of the feedback, Glenn Sutherland said, Paul included Avatar too, so that's an instant no. And Wayne's list was Wayne, so that's a no too. Jeremy Trigardi said, vote for Paul. Reason, one word, Uncharted. Yes.
Fuck you. Uncharted looks like a... Hey, yo, you're going to see Uncharted?
Yeah, it looks like shit, dude.
Thank you.
I'm a fan of the game, so probably.
Okay, but you're going to go see it, right?
Yeah, but not anticipated.
Man, suck my dick. Spider-Man's a great... Whatever. All right,
Spider-Man? What are you talking about? Yeah, oh, Spider-Man in the role. Yeah, okay. Speaking of Spider-Man, Robert Stewart, or Stu, as we know him from the Stu World Order podcast, said, Paul had Spider-Verse in the right spot. He wins. Now, hang on. We got to go. There's a lot of votes, though, for you. So, Troy Spinner, who puts the list together each week in the thread. Thank you again, Troy, for your help. Said, no list with Avatar deserves to win, people. An easy vote for Wayne, plus having the Batman at number one helps.
There you go. Everyone liked the Batman, right? Shit. Right?
Yes. Yeah, okay. That's right. Absolutely fair. Yeah. Blake Jarvis, Paul has Bullet Train and Northman where they should be, but Wayne had Batman where it should be. Wayne's diehard position still haunts me, but Batman conquers all.
Y'all like Die Hard, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Of course. And Joe Doherty said, tough call, but have to go with Wayne. Top Gun, Flash, and Batman at number one for the win. So as close as it can be to kick it off. We didn't even announce that I fell over the line, won by a couple of votes last year. Hooray.
Oh, well done, cunt.
It gives people something to talk about. That's it for this week's recap. Let's get into the episode proper on the other side of this music cue, the top 10 80s comedies. It's the subject of this week's countdown.
You know you do the same thing every week. It's like, subject, object!
If it ain't broke.
I know.
Right, well, how did you guys come about or go at making your combined list? What was the process?
Master, well, tell him.
All right, so, John texted me, hey, this is what we're doing. So, I think I was on my break at work and I just came up with a quick list off the top of my head that was about 20. And I think I sent that to you. You eliminated 14 of those right off the bat.
Yeah, we both had our list. We both had to come to an agreement. It was tough. It was Sophie's choice. Some of these movies, there's a couple movies that he didn't want to include that I'm going to have to bring up as an honorable mention for sure. And I'm sure a few on his end. Yep. But we were able to come up with the list pretty proper. And then he actually gave me kind of an order that he thought looked good, and I looked at it, and he was pretty spot on. So
okay.
So we're going with that.
Okay, yep. Good agreement.
And we're just going to alternate
choices. Sure. Okay, no problem at all.
Yeah.
And we did it about 10 minutes before you arrived. We finished recording our list, so it's very fresh in our mind.
So
there was a relatively little disagreement, really.
Yeah, pretty good. Because like 80s is 80s, man. You love it, you love it less. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. But if you're a patron, you can listen to that.
Yeah, listen to that.
Feel free to join up. Links in the show notes.
In the next few days. Now, look, one thing we should add. We were very strict on the criteria for comedy. So
Paul slightly more than I.
Yeah, so we didn't go outside into some, you know, horror comedies and things like that. Now, obviously, it's fine for you guys did because there was no agreement beforehand. But just letting our listeners know that we tried to be true to the brief.
That means there's one particular, in my opinion...
We'll talk about it when it comes up on your list.
On here, which was not on Paul's list. Why? Because technically that's not a straight comedy.
Not close.
It's a slash comedy. So that's not on our list, and it may freak some people out. Understand? I understand. Okay? So there you go.
All right, well...
neither one of you have Young Einstein in there, right? I want to make sure right off the bat that you're not going to throw that Australian shit
out. How do you even know that fucking movie, man?
Well, because
I'm very Yahoo serious.
Oh,
about
damn!
This.
Oh, God.
Deep cuts. Holy shit. Yeah. All right. I got some respect going on now. So, all right. Here we go.
Well, let's lead off then with your guys, number 10.
I'll go with number 10. You know, I didn't know your criteria. I didn't know if it was a, a movie that was strictly comedy or a slash comedy.
That's cool.
John has some of that of his own. You know, he makes up a lot of rules for himself. But I don't think we followed any set course. So I'm kind of all over the place. And I'm going to start off number 10 with a guy who is the pretty much quintessential comedy guy from the 70s and 80s, Mel Brooks.
Oh, yeah.
And my number 10 is going to be Spaceballs.
Oh, yes! Slightly.
It's on the list. Tell us about Spaceballs. Comics, I'm sorry, we don't really do top list, we just do a number one and then a whole bunch of others.
Never apologize to Paul for his really judgy shit, okay? Paul always pulls this shit. Like, well, I can't fucking believe that. Eat my dick, man. So tell us of Spaceballs.
Can I just remind you?
Quintessential parody satire of Star Wars trilogy, other sci-fi films, Star Trek, Alien, Wizard of Oz. It's done so well.
Dude. Heroes. This is a quotable-ass movie. Like, keep firing, assholes. God, yeah. That shit is so good. We can't stop. It's too dangerous. Bullshit. Ludicrous. You know, it was just good-ass shit, right? I absolutely love
excellent
this
moments. You know, it starts off with the long reveal of the ship, just like Star Wars, and so it's like funny. A fucking minute and a half.
Yeah, it takes forever, and you're like laughing. Like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. This is pure class. And that bit where he's playing with the dolls, and he's like, oh, Dark Knight.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck,
absolutely.
Man. I almost pissed my pants seeing that. This is the 80s, man. 88, man. It was 88 when I saw it.
The 80s.
So, yeah, I'm down. Absolutely. Good call.
Yeah, very good choice, and of course.
Even the merchandising and like the sort of meta parts of the movie, absolutely. You know, they work.
And they got to use the lightsaber back then. They wouldn't be able to do that now.
Oh, yeah.
Disney would have fucked them, man. So, yeah.
May the Schwartz be with you.
There is a joke about them being sued in the film from vague memory.
Yeah, too, there's right? mention of like mention of, yeah. Mm. Oh, it's good stuff. It's all pretty good stuff.
Comb the desert.
We ain't found shit.
Yeah.
All right, that's enough. Just quoting.
Okay. Sorry, now we're just doing that.
Great choice.
Yeah, we're going to do a lot of quotes in this episode.
Yeah. Get ready. Steal yourselves. All right, Wayne, our number 10, is one that I brought to the table and Wayne graciously allowed to creep onto the list, is, I think, the finest mockumentary comedy ever made. It's This Is Spinal Tap.
You guys into it? Yeah.
Great movie.
This is the quintessential. I don't know if this was the first one they did, but it's definitely the biggest one, and in my opinion, the best one that they've ever made. The Best in Show and A Mighty Wind and all these other ones that have sort of followed over the years. But this one, they struck the formula gold. This was so good, this movie, that people believed they were a real band when they watched this. Originally, back in the 80s, it was who is this band? They're good. Because they recorded actual music and actual songs for it and released them. So
they're all musicians, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
those guys are actually recorded with each other, too.
Which is just
like
astounding.
Before the movie.
Really?
Oh, before the movie. Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
That's why. We did a top five fictitious bands episode recently, and they were on Lloyd's.
They were on my list. Yep.
Yeah.
Didn't make yours, John? But Josie and the Pussycats did?
No, that wasn't mine.
No, he picked Jen and the Holograms.
Josie and the Pussycats is the shit, man. That fucking movie is great. It's making fun of all the boy bands. And it's some good shit. Du jour means respect. That shit's funny, man. All right?
I never saw it. It wasn't on my list.
Oh, dude, you should totally see it. It's fucking piss funny.
I was pulling the piss. Why left it at like...
I love Josie and the Pussycats.
Indication!
Yo, man. This is where fucking, this shit started. Anyway, please go on.
Yeah, so this is Spinal Tap. Of course, turn up to 11. So many great gags in the film. I don't even know which one it is who dies all the time, but the band member who keeps getting killed having to be replaced.
Drummer.
It is the drummer, okay. So I couldn't remember the bass player, the drummer. Very funny stuff.
Interesting trivia. This is David Caruso's favorite film. I don't know why I know that, but I do know that.
That is
nice.
Because he tried to.
How did you get that?
Because he was talking about it how when he was young, he was trying to get into a band, and he said, "Spinal Tap's my favorite film because it kills me every time I see people failing to be in a band." Because he did. So I don't know why I know that. It was obviously when I was
left field.
But there
once
you are.
It's, once
there
you it's go. Comment back. And the other
That's
bit.
Fucking-
that- Sorry.
Deep left field.
Yes.
Deep
left field. Yeah. The other thing that always makes me laugh in that film is the when they're getting lost in the back trying to get to the stage.
Oh, yeah. Rock and roll!
Yeah, rock and roll. There we go. That's our number 10. This is Spinal Tap. Back to you guys.
All right. Number 9, I think, was more of a me choice than a Lloyd choice, but it's been a favorite of mine since I was 10 and saw it in the movie theaters the first time. Debut of a visionary director who made a lot of great movies. And it's a hero's journey, one man looking for his bicycle, Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Wow. Okay.
I'm a huge fan. Obviously, Pee-wee would go on to be known for other things, such as masturbating in porno theaters, and that happened.
Yeah.
that happened. But he redeemed himself somehow. He came back to the limelight. But Pee-wee's Big Adventure, another incredibly quotable film. It's set up with all these different situations and different people he runs into. You get the ex-con Mickey who went to jail for cutting the tags off of mattresses and just all this silly shit. You get to the end of the movie, and when he goes to see the big screen version of his life movie, it's James Brolin, you know, who's like at the time, like this, you know, handsome soap opera actor with a beard dressed in Pee Wee Herman's suit. It's just ridiculous. And it's always made me laugh.
Have you seen it, Paul? Yeah. See, I think, no, Pee Wee Herman wasn't a big thing in Australia. Like, so this, I mean, I see this on a lot of people's lists.
Ironically.
And so I've never actually seen it. Yeah. And I know it's pretty popular over there in the States and probably around the world. But yeah, in Australia, not so big. But that's interesting that it actually makes your list. It's that funny.
Set up Tim Burton's career. Oh, yeah. Right.
Did Tim Burton do it?
Tim Burton's first movie. Yeah. I mean, I think he made the Frankie Weenie short first. And then he made Pee-wee's Big Adventure, and then Beetlejuice, and then Batman. So, I mean, this is right there, 1985. I mean, I haven't seen it in a bit, but I mean, when I was a kid through my probably 20s, this is one that I would throw on every couple of years, and if it was on TV, check it out. It's a hilarious movie, makes me laugh, and it's a feel-good movie, too. It makes me feel good.
Nice. I haven't seen any of the ones on the list.
When Pee-wee was... Oh, sorry.
Please go on.
When Pee-wee was famous, I was probably getting the pee. I wasn't really into the Pee-wee stuff.
So you were already hitting ass by the time you saw Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
well, Pee-wee's Big Adventure came out in 1985, so he was 42.
I was nearly 20, so yeah.
Fair enough. My daughter really likes the sort of remake sort of sequel that came out, 5 or 6 years ago? Which
I never saw that.
I've seen in bits and pieces and dribs and drabs too many times, and it's bloody awful, so I think it's colored me against the original.
Remember, next time you think about Pee-wee, Pee-wee Herman is America's Yahoo Serious.
Okay. That's fair.
Nice.
That's
pull.
A good comparison, yeah.
Nice pull. Nice.
All right, well, this is where we
have to flip over, because
straight back to you.
Yeah, our number 9 is Spaceballs, so we're going to go back to you for your number 8.
Yep.
All right, Manster, what's your number 8?
Oh, number 8. That is going to be film directed by John Hughes, starring two of my favorite comedic actors, Steve Martin and John Candy.
Oh!
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Oh,
okay. Nice to hear some Hughes love early on in the countdown. So,
I love this one. Everyone loves this one, man.
Yeah, two great, great actors with great timing, just slinging jabs at each other all the time. It's just fantastic.
Legends at that time.
Legends, yeah.
Like, the two comedy legends that were at their peak at the same time, put into the same movie that's extremely funny, but also has incredible heart.
Mm.
And it's almost sad at the end. You know, I mean, it has a nice little redeeming bit. And the other thing is, in America, it has, over the last, like, maybe 10 years, become like a Thanksgiving staple.
Is that so?
Because it takes place. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I like that.
I actually watched this 2 days before Thanksgiving. When we were doing our original lists that's the day the movie takes place as well.
Wow. You know, the bit that actually made me laugh when I first saw this film was when they're in the car together and they ended up like going between the two trucks and they're scraping the car, right? And what I didn't expect was there's a shot where it just goes surreal and Steve Martin looks at John Candy and he's in a devil outfit going, ah! Because he thinks he's going to die, right? And I was like, holy shit, that was really weird. And then it comes out and he's got his fingers like stuck in the dash and he has to pull them off. Shit like that is gold, man. So I understand. I completely am on board with this.
That entire movie is just filled with stuff like that. Spot on, you know, great timing. And those guys just nailed it.
I didn't know it was John Hughes. It doesn't seem
Did
like.
You?
Yeah.
No, for some reason I didn't. But there you are. That's really cool.
It's kind of almost his first directorial movie where he's dealing with adults too instead of like kids, and it's such a good transition.
Damn. Wow, some genius is genius, man. Nice work. All right, so that was number 8
for them, number 8 for us.
And Planes for Us is,
well, we call it Flying High here, but you call it Airplane in the States. So the Zucker Brothers and Jim Abrahams, I think this is just from go to woe one of the funniest films ever made. It's just you laughing at the last joke and you miss the next two because it's that rapid fire. And the hit ratio on this movie, for me at least, obviously comedy subjective, is so high.
Dude, if you look at this again, right, and you watch particularly the pilot talking to the young boy, right? Yes. Oh, that's like, so disturbing. Holy shit! How did they? You know, and he's like, even oh, you've got a dog. Oh, I see. It's a boy dog. I'm like, you're looking at the dog's dick, and then he's like talking to him and just saying the most off color shit, and the kid's even like put off. And that's the comedy. Like, holy crap! You couldn't do that now. Couldn't do that now at all.
The answer to that is 1980. That's yes. the answer yeah. to the entire question.
Oh, there's so many inappropriate jokes. And I think it's only a PG film. Like, I don't think it's even R from memory.
No.
And you've got all kinds of casual racism. But
do you speak jive?
Do you speak jive? The Middle Eastern guys getting on the plane having to put their AK-47s in like a side bucket.
Oh, yeah. Oh man, I forgot about that. Oh, my God.
The lady on the plane speaking jive.
Yeah, that's it.
That was pure class, man. And I laughed my balls off when I saw that as a kid.
And I think the cast is stellar. Like, Robert Hayes is great. And Julie Haggerty was gorgeous at the time.
I was all about that.
And yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Early for me on. And then, of course, Leslie Nielsen just doing his deadpan brilliance from there, which...
Leslie Nielsen is, and he seems to be the same age as like in the other one.
Yeah, he just got white, went white very early.
Yeah, but it was like worked for him. Yeah. By the way, Julie Haggerty reprised her acting career in How I Met Your Mother playing a MILF, Marshall's mom. Still hot.
Really?
Yeah.
She was recently in Marriage Story. She was, I think, Scarlett Johansson character's mum.
Oh, really?
So she's still around.
I reckon it's all good. Still.
With your criteria?
Yes, I know. Absolutely. I know. I tend to go that way.
So yeah, that was our pick at number 8. Now, not in consideration for your list. Don't like it. What's the response?
Oh no, that's on our list.
It's on our list.
Okay.
It's on our
list. All right.
It's even higher.
You can almost say that you guys are.
I can almost say no.
Do you want to say anything more about it? Then we'll talk about it now rather than and stop and talk about it.
John, do you have a soundboard? Is that what happened just then?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry. So it's only Paul.
No,
got
that
it.
Was actually on mine as well. And yeah, you know, it's just the surreal humor, the slapstick, the visual and verbal puns, the non sequiturs. It's so deadpan, and it just keeps going and going. You know, it's like nonstop.
You know the guy walking upside down around the fucking cabin when they're playing? Yeah. I had never seen that before, and I was like, what the fuck is going on? It was just awesome.
Oh, man.
Now, do you guys, just a quick question, do you guys have a movie in Australia that's called Airplane? Or I know sometimes things get different titles, but
no,
I'm,
it happens
I'm
all the
wondering
time.
Why that title.
In Australia, it's actually, there's no reason for it at all. Like, it's really weird, but they don't do it so much anymore. But back in the day, like, heaps of movies with just a different title in Australia, and it didn't add anything to the fucking story.
I have to assume it's a marketing decision that they went, this won't sell as many tickets.
Yeah.
And I know it's a spoof of, you know, those airplane disaster films and whatever else, the Airplane 74 or 78.
Airport,
or whatever it was. So here, I think maybe those films weren't that big or didn't do that well. Or maybe they were worried people would confuse the two because Australians are dumb. And so they went,
you know, in like, you know, the wording on the poster for Airplane with the exclamation point, it's exactly like that with Flying High exclamation point over here. So you see, I don't know. I couldn't tell you why.
Same graphic, same image.
Same image,
same twisted
style.
Plane.
Yes.
Yep. All that shit. 100%.
Probably one of the most famous quotes of all comedies. Surely you can't be serious.
Surely. Exactly.
I am serious and don't call me Shirley.
Yep.
That gag is, and that keeps going, man. Like,
yeah.
Brilliant film. I'm glad to hear it's on your list as well.
Cool. Our number 7.
Is it us? No, you're 7. Nope, you're 7. Yep.
Well, 7. You're number 7.
Our 7. So you were talking earlier about like the don't cross the streams. This is probably the closest to stream crossing we have in terms of maybe not straight comedy.
Mm-hmm.
1989, Tom Berenger, Charlie Sheen, Major League. This is not only a favorite sports movie of mine, but this is a stellar comedy. This is just a hilarious movie about, you know, the always pathetic Cleveland Indians and a very ragtag bunch of put together players that are put in a position that they're going to lose, that the owner wants them to lose, and it's just one situation after another. The personalities are what make it. You know, they introduce the world to Wesley Snipes, whether that's a good thing or bad thing. and Charlie Sheen, you know, who obviously, you know, years later would be more known for being a train wreck, you know, was still a good actor at that point. And, you know, he plays Rick Wild Thing Vaughn, this incredible pitcher with a fastball of like 100 miles an hour who has no control. It's just, there's just a ton of things. There's one scene in the movie I always think of. They go to a fancy restaurant, Willie Mays Hayes, who's Wesley Snipes, and Rick Vaughn. And they're in a fancy restaurant, and Rick Vaughn, you know, he's got this weird haircut, and he's wearing a cut-off jean vest over a t-shirt.
Yes,
and And he says, he's looking at the menu and he says, I feel like a banker.
That's right. That was pure class. That was pure class. I remember that shit, man. Man, this whole Paul loves.
Look, I have to say at this Paul, point, please. Jump in with
suck my dick
because yeah, this is see. Our number six.
Paul,
stolen out my.
Paul
thunder.
Is the Tom Berenger, just suck my dick thing on fucking. Yeah. That's how bad it is. Yeah. Man.
I love this movie. I think it's the greatest sports film ever made. It's absolutely for me the funniest film made. Probably, I know this is a big call in this era.
Whoa!
I will watch this film. I've seen this one 15, maybe 20 times, and I'm not someone who watches a film over and over and over again unless I really love it. It's in my top 40 films ever made.
What?
Wow.
Oh, wow.
For me, I actually had it on today.
There you go. I just think you can put it on at any point, and it's not just the three characters that you mentioned, and but it's also the manager, James Gammon's manager. He's so funny in this movie. The bit players, fucking Serrano, and... Chelsea Ross's backup pitcher as well.
Hats for bats.
Hats for bats. Keep bats warm.
Hey, bartender, Joe Boone needs a refill. That shit is class.
So did many... you just put snot on the ball?
Yes!
You cut me from the team, and every time I pitch against you, I'm going to stick this fucking ball right up your ass!
This is all like... Let me ask you something. Apart from the quotes and shit, did y'all dig Rene Russo like we dug Rene Russo?
Oh,
God, yeah.
Hell to the yes, right? I mean, like, Paul doesn't even like Rangers, which is redheads, what we call them here, right? But he'd dive that one, you know what I'm saying? So, like, that's how important that shit is. And she was even hot up to Thomas Crown Affair styles, man.
Yeah, she was.
Fuck it, even Thor.
Yeah, I think by Nightcrawler, it's probably...
I'll fucking still hit that. Yeah. So, it's
once again.
I'm a definite fan.
One of those movies that, like, when you watch it, you're, you know, Tom Berenger was a star in the 80s, but you're almost always like, why wasn't he a little bit bigger ever?
Yeah, I agree.
Because he was great in this. He was great in Platoon.
Yep.
But he never really went that one level higher, you know?
Have you seen Shattered with Tom Berenger and like
Greta Scacchi?
Greta Scacchi,
a long time ago, yeah.
Fucking loved that film. I was like, oh my God. The first time I was totally suckered by a film, that one. I was like, ooh, nice done.
Great choice, and we obviously totally agree. All right, well, that means it's time for our number seven. This one is All Wayne.
Oh, yeah. Everyone, this is a British comedy, so it's unusual, but it's a fish called Wanda. Are you familiar with this show? Really?
Oh.
I love that the Americans put this on there. Oh, man.
Jeez, our lists are so similar. It's hilarious.
It's going to be it's crossover city. For a show like this, it's going to do that.
That's amazing, though, given the breadth of the topic.
Absolutely. So Kevin Kline, Jamie Lee Curtis, Michael Palin, Stephen Fry, John Cleese. Pretty stellar lineup. I would say Kevin Kline is the only American playing an American in London, and it is just, and I don't even know how to actually like describe it, but it is your standard situational weird type comedy among sort of the upper crusty type British folks, and Jamie Lee Curtis, who's also, oh sorry, she's an American too, but they're confidence tricksters and so on, and the thing I think I like most about this was Kevin Kline's somehow adorable sadism. He's like, right? Like,
no.
How do you manage to do that? He's the guy who walks around with a gun. I think what it was is that I liked his clothes. He used to wear these nice black long jackets and like a baseball cap, and it just worked for him.
Our number seven funniest film of the 80s is there because Wayne likes someone's
That may
clothes.
Be one of the reasons. There were many other things, but his whole I used to kill for the CIA shit when he's like, you know, let's like pull this. Like, he got past the airport security with his gun by just flipping it in the air and catching it on the other side. And he put it back in and walked through. I'm like, yeah, that's funny. So, I mean, all of that is class. Plus John Cleese and Jamie Lee Curtis. Hot.
You can't beat John Cleese. Oh, my God.
Right?
I've got an admission to make. So we mentioned earlier that I had changed one. And you put out your call for people to give you your lists. And I was looking through them.
Yep.
And Fish Called Wanda is one of my favorite comedies of all time. And for whatever reason, I never thought of it. So as soon as I saw one of your listeners put it there, I told Lloyd we have to take one out, move this one around, and then I want to move a couple to get this closer to the front. Because this movie, when I was a teenager, early 20s, I'd watch this movie like 3 or 4 times a year. It's
really
fantastic. Oh, I in my head, I don't ever hear or say the word in my head disappointed without doing it like Kevin Kline when he goes, disappointed! That's how I know that word, is I hear it like that.
Truth be told, John told me this today. And I'm like, you know, I remember that being a great movie, but I haven't seen it in a long time.
Yeah, me too.
So I rented it and I watched it back to back twice.
Wow.
Yeah, that deserves to be on the list.
So good, right? And this is like Kevin Kline playing a stupid dude was funny. And she's like, he was asking me Their daughter's name is Portia. Why'd they name her after a car? And shit like that. Right? Like, he's all just class, man. And John Cleese, when he was naked speaking Russian, that scene is funny as fuck, man.
And Jamie Lee Curtis is up there practically humping the rope.
She's fucking double clicking a mouse, mate. God. Yeah.
Right. Well, there we are. Obviously, everyone's in agreement. I haven't seen it in too long, but I'm really impressed, Lloyd, that you hired it and watched it again twice.
I am crazy impressed.
Yeah. I sure did.
Obviously, very, very good. Okay, so we are very much on the same wavelength. And six is where we had. Oh, sorry.
You're going number six now.
Well, you guys got to talk a lot.
Number
now.
Six to us, and this is where we had Airplane.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, all right, back to us. Well, yeah, so volley. Airplane back to you. Because our number six was Major League. So over. Back to you for number five.
All right, number five. It's all about the ball bearings. It's Fletch from 1985.
Ooh, interesting. Keep going, please.
Yeah, Chevy Chase is a mega douche. We all know this. But the guy was on fire in the 80s with the comedies. Can't deny that. You know, he plays Irwin Fletcher, a investigative reporter that gets caught up in a murder mystery. And he is the Chevy Chase-iest of Chevy Chase in this movie. He is just a smarmy douchebag.
Totally.
Master of disguise. Again, quotable, put a steak sandwich on the Underhills tab, stuff like that. It's just a hilarious movie. It's got, I guess, elements of being a thriller, not a murder mystery, but like a thriller as well. There's apparently I've never read them, but a series of novels. You know, Kevin Smith has wanted to make one forever. Other directors
really?
Have wanted to make more. Oh, yeah.
I liked Fletch Lives, even. I actually liked that one, the second one. I know, a lot of people hate that one.
Yeah. Not great, but it had its moments. But yeah, I mean, the original Fletch, you know, the scene where he's pretending to be the airplane mechanic,
yes.
And he just starts rattling off ball bearings and presto antifreeze. It's just a great movie.
The guy on roller skates.
Have you guys?
What was that scene where defenseless babies with the dogs?
Do you remember all the 80s women that were in this? There's that girl with the massively frizzy long hair with a big round. Like, she was a...
Brilliant. You're just talking about every woman.
I'm sorry, every 80s woman. But like, I remember seeing that movie. I've seen these women in heaps of other like films, but it was always like that type of 80s hot. Did you saw the stories? Have you heard the story of Chevy Chase and Bill Murray having a fist fight in the Saturday Night Live green room? Isn't that like, that's not... Because Chevy Chase at the time was... Women love the shit out of him, man. And it was so hard to be funny and hot back then. He managed to swing it. Eddie Murphy, that's it. Everyone else is an ugly, funny cunt. So, like, he was a whole different thing back then. So I remember just, like, the idea of Chevy Chase was actually cool at the time.
He was the first guy to parlay Saturday Night Live into actual, you know, movie.
That's right. He's the alumni.
You know, business.
Yeah.
Was he the first? It wasn't Jim Belushi?
1 year. No, he was one year. He went to the movies. He did, like, you know, the late 70s, Foul Play and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Continued right through the 80s.
Vacation.
John Belushi, you know, came up with, you know, with Blues Brothers. That was a little bit later. That was, I think Blues Brothers might have been a year after he left. But, yeah, it was Chase was the first one.
Yeah. See, that's
he was great.
No, he's a legend. And sure, he's an asshole, but he's an old person. We all assholes. What's up?
Okay. All right. So our number five, right?
Yes. Our number five is the original Police Academy. Okay, so I think we were talking about this, and this is like what I consider the rude 80s comedies, which all of them had titties in them, right? But this was like, this is a... To titty fest, if you will.
Oh, God, Wayne, can we get off the titties?
What? Sorry, let's not talk about titties yet. But like Paul was saying this, like the actual cast is actually this very good ensemble cast.
Stella.
You do remember things about each of them.
Stella performer. I'm Steve Guttenberg. This is the height of his powers.
Definitely.
He's
Mahoney.
The perfect,
sarcastic
kind of guy you can root for. You really like him. Kim Cattrall is smart enough to get out of the series after this particular film, I think. Maybe she was in number two. And then you've got the Hightowers and the Tackleberry. Yeah, and Harris, the antagonistic lieutenant, and of course, Michael Winslow.
That was the whole thing about this, right? Him doing the sounds was such a novelty, and the idea, that was why I went to see the movie. I saw it at the drive-ins. Old cunt! So, right, it's... I saw that shit, right? And I remember thinking that, going, wow, the whole, even the machine gun, whatever thing.
Yep.
I saw Michael Winslow at a Comic Con about, seriously, 7 years ago. And unfortunately, yep, he was the only one who didn't have a line in front of him. Everyone else had a, I know, I felt like going over there and say, hey, man, can you like, can you like make a sound for me?
You didn't go? You didn't see him?
I didn't, because I didn't buy a picture of his for him to go sign, so it would have just been like, huh.
Yeah.
So, I mean, because you had to, the lines are, so you have to buy something to get in line, so, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so
the dude was in Spaceballs, too.
He was! He was in Spaceballs. The bleep, the creeps.
One scene. Yeah.
Wow. Yes, so we love it. You guys like Police Academy? I mean, come on, it's going to be a thing for you, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've always enjoyed it. I mean, I you know, I was probably 9 when it came out, and I remember, you know, being a young lad of 9. And like those scenes where like Leslie Easterbrook is like tackling guys and stuff, going, something's happening. You know, I'm gonna have to look into this later and figure out what's going on.
Figure out what movement that is.
What was that?
Oh, that's good ass shit, man. No, okay. Police Academy. I'm glad we all into it.
Yeah, Police Academy. Good.
Very nice. All right, your number 4, gentlemen.
Our number 4 is this little movie. You may have heard of it. I don't know if it's real popular. It's called Better Off Dead.
Oh, wow. Yes. Okay. Yes. I love fucking... Please,
John
bring it on.
Cusack. Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know if this wasn't Cusack's first movie, was it?
No, but the...
No, it was early.
Very early.
Yeah, it was early. Basically, he's, you know, just a high school student, Lane Meyer. He's suicidal after his girlfriend breaks up with him. She wants a cooler dude.
That's right. And this is the one where he's an artist or something, and he does the fucking...
He's an artist. He draws shit.
And there's little cartoon shits in the movie, which is like...
Walker's reading his...
Yeah.
And then there's that scene with the claymation where he's works in the burger place, and the hamburgers come to life, and they sing Everybody Wants Some, the Van Halen song.
Yeah, it's a really odd film, and I remember watching it, and he's actually using it because he drew a picture of the girl in cartoon, and he showed her, and this and that. And I think as a young man, I'm like, hey, can drawing get you ass? Spoilers, it cannot.
Damn. Well,
it's a great movie. It's got it's a really weird, like, surrealistic humor. The carload of the Asian guys that speak like Howard Cosell.
That shit is funny.
And then, of course, if you're going to talk about Better Off Dead, I think if you know the movie, the number one joke of all time is, I want my $2.
$2.
That $2.
Paperboy that was.
Football may not remember this.
I think I've seen this movie once because that just rang a bell. I was about to say, I've never seen it, but that whole.
Oh, you have. Yeah. Because it's the newspaper boy, and Lloyd owes him $2 or something.
Yeah.
And him and his
friends.
Him
through the whole movie.
But then
right?
he gets his friends to, like, at night descend upon him, like, $2. And I remember he.
Yeah, right. In the park. It's beautiful.
In the park.
Beautifully shot.
It is actually beautifully shot.
And all these paper boys come
at
down.
Night. It's at night.
Sounds good. Yeah, that does ring a bell.
And then he's like,
the thing I love about this movie. It's got so many running gags in it that just keep coming back, right? You've got the mother with her horrible green-tinted cooking.
The cooking.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
You've got the garage door breaking the glass. You've got the Howard Cosell Asian, sports race car guys.
Those are class.
You've got a friend trying to score drugs all the time. It's just great. The paper boys.
That's right. I remember I remember one other thing about this film. I think it came from the trailer. And there's two African-American, like, garbage guys.
Oh, yeah.
What's the world coming to when you throw away a really good white boy like that?
Yeah, because the guy was on the show. Yeah, that's funny shit. That's funny shit. Oh, my God. I'm so glad you put this in here. This is, like, an old favorite of mine as well. So, nice work.
Yeah. Better Off Dead.
All right, I didn't pick that one so high, but nice work. Now we're getting some variation lists. This is good.
Okay, so our number 4. Go ahead, Paul.
Cool. Our number 4, then, is probably the closest to not being a straight comedy, but it is absolutely a comedy because the other shenanigans in it aren't that big or significant. It's Ghostbusters, directed by Ivan Reitman, who is, of course, Wayne.
A genius.
Now, that's a joke that you will not
understand. It's a joke you won't get. We'll tell you some other time. It's stupid.
In the US, from an old Australian TV show. Ghostbusters, of course, lightning in a bottle. I think that's the only way to describe this particular movie.
I mean, because I don't know who Bill Murray was. I didn't know what any of them was at the time, right? But the idea behind it was, like, first of all, Ghostbusters feels like New York to me, even now. Like, the few times I've been to New York, I'll walk around and hear the theme song and stuff like that. I just like it. It feels good. It feels great. The whole idea of Peter Venkman being this hound dog motherfucker who's, like, you know.
Despite looking that way.
Yeah, I know. But in the 80s, you didn't even have to be good looking at all, man. You just needed
to be. Sigourney Weaver is so far out of his league, it's hilarious.
He's basically, because some people think that David Addison from Moonlighting took his entire shtick from Bill Murray in Ghostbusters.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
That's what a lot of people say. But it's basically the smarmy cool guy, right? Ish. But yeah, I mean, look, other than that, I was scared in certain places in this thing. We talked about there's a scene where Ray gets a blowjob from a motherfucking ghost in fucking a PG film.
I had to fast forward through that bit with my daughter watching this movie.
I know, right? It's like, what's happening? Well, he's getting his dick sucked. No, you can't say that. So, and even in the 80s when I was a kid, I remember not quite knowing what was going on, but I was like, and no one had a problem with me watching it, man. So this is the 80s, man, where ghosts can suck a dick.
People just ignored that.
I know.
Parents ignored that shit.
Because we were tougher back then, man. Ain't no damn woke motherfuckers out now. You guys must love Ghostbusters, right?
We love Ghostbusters.
Yeah, we took it out of consideration for the reasons you said. Like we talked about this and Back to the Future, and those just transcend comedy to me.
Thank you. I said Dwayne, Back to the Future, absolutely. It's comedy last. Like, it's a sci-fi adventure film first,
right,
and then it's a comedy. Whereas I think Ghostbusters is a comedy first with some supernatural shenanigans second. So,
but I mean, like, I totally get it, because we took out a very particular Eddie Murphy one as well, because it was sort of more action than it was comedy. I don't know if you guys have it on your list.
It was just low. Well, you took it out completely. It was low on mine.
I think I know what you mean.
Yep.
Not on your list?
Nope.
No.
Okay, good. So, yeah, so Beverly Hills Cop couldn't make it, even though I love that movie.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, I took it off. I had it in mind, and then I took it off.
I had a question for you guys. Did you like Ghostbusters 2?
No.
Oh, man, I love that one, too. I'm such a bitch.
we just actually, on, I think, our latest episode of Pint of Comics, I had Stu on from SWO Productions, and we talked about Ghostbusters Afterlife, which he hated. I hadn't seen.
Mm.
And I said everybody has all these lofty ambitions for Ghostbusters 2016 and Ghostbusters Afterlife, when in 1989, with the same people, they couldn't make a good movie.
So, like, good point.
Like, don't give the four women shit. Don't give this new movie shit, because 5 years after the original, they couldn't get their shit together to make a decent movie. So it was like Ghostbusters was lightning in a bottle.
Yep,
and
totally.
It was fantastic, and it stands alone as one movie, and everything else, you know, I haven't seen Afterlife, but everything else can pretty much go.
Afterlife's fine. It's fine. It's worth watching.
It's good. I think it's good. All right.
Though my wife and daughter didn't like it very much.
Like it, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, there you are. All right, gents, you're number four.
That was our
three.
Four.
Three.
Number three.
Three. Easy and Back to You. It's where A Fish Called Wanda belongs.
Oh,
higher on the list.
I'm on board, man.
Shots fired.
Okay, well, our number three is The Naked Gun, the first one.
File from the file.
Files of the Police Squad.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Awesome. Thank God.
Okay, cool. Now, I remember thinking to myself, because the reason this is up this high and was in my list as well, but not this high, but I genuinely laughed my ass off in this film, as in the cinema with other 80s people, and just like roaring laughter, because just the ideas here. I mean, it made me go back and watch all the Police Squad TV, whatever episodes they had. There's like five episodes. And I hunted them down, and it was still class, man. So, like, and I'd never heard of the Naked Gun, Police Squad, Frank Drebin, anything.
No, neither would I.
Yeah, and I remember the poster with him on the bullet and the fucking, and he's flashing the badge. And it looks like a really serious show, even though that's there.
Well, I don't know.
Well, the way it was
I'm
painted.
I'm looking at the poster,
it was like,
right here.
It's like a, it's like, who's that artist? Jim, whatever, the guy who does all the famous like 80s posters, right?
Drew Struzan,
right? It looked like that style, so I was like, oh, what's this? You know what I mean? Drew Struzan, man, that documentary is the shit. Anyone want to look it up. Drew Struzan documentary.
I haven't seen it, but I want to see it. He's amazing.
Oh, bro. You gotta see it. Anyway, so yeah, that's why when it came out to turn out to be funny, I like Priscilla Presley. I like all that shit.
And we don't like O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson was hilarious, unfortunately.
He was good back then.
Right, with a big fro. It was just hilarious, right? So, yeah.
Nice
please.
Beaver.
So many good jokes.
God, and he's looking up and scared. Nice beaver that she comes down. I'm like, damn! I didn't even know what a beaver was, but I knew it was fucking rude.
Oh.
Yeah, okay.
And don't forget, Paul, I think Paul had mentioned earlier about Airplane, about like the kind of ratio of hits for jokes. Naked Gun's more.
I agree.
Naked Gun, no, there's Naked Gun is just slaps you. I didn't see it in the theaters. I remember seeing it when it came out on video with some friends. And like that opening scene on the boat with O.J. Simpson, and he's, you know, he puts his hands on the wet paint. Oh no! And it just fires off from right there.
He kicks his foot through the door.
That's
and
right.
The door,
and it never stops. Almost.
Yeah, he puts his face in a cake, I think, at one point, and that's literally the first 5 minutes, and then it just fucking destroys from there.
I agree. I think this film is obviously, we think it's funnier. It's higher on our list than Airplane. It's obviously the same team this time, just directed by David Zucker, but it's still the same writers, and they are just nailing it. They're taking all the best jokes from that Police Squad show and are shoving them all in here, and it doesn't matter. They all work, and there's so few films I can remember being at cinema And I think another one, which is just out of our range, White Men Can't Jump was another one where the crowd was roaring so much throughout the screening that I missed half the jokes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I had to come back and watch it again to actually catch the ones that I missed at a much less busy session.
Back in the day when you had to go somewhere to watch a movie again. Yeah. But you know when he was like, Priscilla Presley is in his room or in his house or whatever when he comes in, and then later on they're kind of flirting. He goes, "Let me change it to something more comfortable." And the next scene, he's got a tuxedo.
Another great when those two are together and they're singing the Herman's Hermit song.
Something, that's something good.
Going through all these things that people have in relationships, and then you find out it's all done in one day.
That's right.
Yeah, they come out of the movie theater laughing, and it's Platoon.
Yeah. Platoon.
Oh, yeah, Platoon. Yeah.
All right, we'll probably should stop there before we just recap.
Damn, that's good. All right.
That is the superior movie to Airplane.
Yep.
Yeah.
don't disagree at all. So that was your number three, is that right?
That was your number three. Oh,
that was our number three. Sorry, I'm looking at my list, not Wayne's. Okay, good. So it's higher on yours. That's correct. Okay, so back to you for your number two.
Our number two is another Chevy Chase vehicle called National Lampoon's Vacation.
Sorry, I almost stole your thunder a little earlier.
Very big. How do you guys love this film?
Yeah, we love this story. Come on. Clark Griswold, the family trip, the
Christy
Woody,
Brinkley.
Wagon Queen family truckster station wagon.
Remember how hot the fucking Ferrari GT308 was back in the 80s? Because Magnum PI had one. And then Christie Brinkley's driving one in this. And, I think the funniest bit, I think, for me in this film is remember when he's in the park and they're having sandwiches and shit, right? And then Christie Brinkley is dancing and he's doing the thing. Yeah, he's got a sandwich.
He's doing all the things.
He's doing a dance with it. Fuck me. And then later on, he's like, the dog pissed on the sandwich. That shit is.
And then Aunt Edna eats it anyway.
I know. No, but the 80s hot woman is a blonde ass leggy woman, like that's just how it is over there. And she was the personification of that, and then Billy Joel married her. So
one of the greatest opening credit songs in a movie, Holiday Road.
We'll be using that one this episode, don't worry.
you'll never forget that. One thing I think that's happened in the last maybe 10 or 12 years is that people mistakenly kind of qualify the Christmas one as being the best of those movies. It is no way, shape, or form better than the original Vacation.
Agree completely.
The original Vacation is, and I think the original Vacation is also, I believe, an R-rated movie, which just adds that little bit of extra.
Is it R-rated?
That extra level. I think it might be. I could be wrong on that.
Well, remember when he loses his shit in the car? He drops a lot of F-bombs, I think.
Oh, that's right.
And you have the shower scene with Beverly D'Angelo.
That's right. The whole series like that. Because I remember European Vacation had that, the girl wearing the leader, whatever it's called.
The German girl.
She just pops her titties out for Rusty. I'm like, holy shit, that was a surprise. And so, so I think the whole
Where's
series.
Where's the rewind button?
Plus, you got that poor dog.
The dog that jumped off the Eiffel Tower. Can't do that now either.
That's a very good choice. Directed by Harold Ramis, which I didn't realize until now.
Egon.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep.
All right, well, there we are. Great choice there. Our number two is all Wayne.
Dude.
Although I do enjoy this film too.
Come on. It's Coming to America. The original one, not the piece of shit like
sequel. That was not in the 80s, so yes.
But also, just don't think about that. Coming to America. All right, everyone. I was... here's the thing. Me, my cousins, we are half Asian and half kind of another white thing, right? and so...
The other white meat.
We're called Eurasian, is what we are, right? Anyway, youngsters, we used to enjoy the black culture very much in Australia as young ethnics ourselves. And Coming to America was kind of the personification of that for us. It meant much more than just a comedy movie. Although I believe everything with this film, with the barbershop scenes and the clean the royal penis is clean, that kind of all this sort of stuff. Here again is I don't know what the rating was of this movie, but there's titties all over this movie, and there's all sorts of blowjob references and stuff like that. But that's when 80s was a bit raunchier, and hence that's how I remember it being funny. I think that's why I only like really rude shit now and not necessarily PG stuff, because of this film. And look, Arsenio Hall, James Earl Jones, this, that, I love this film, man. All of the gags in it I think work, all of them, which is unusual. You guys?
All of them.
Fans?
Yeah, this was on my list, and John took it off.
Uh-huh. Fair enough, I know. You got to squeeze him in.
I think it's a good movie. It's not on my upper echelon list, but, tons of,
Yeah.
Sex with chocolate.
Sexual chocolate. Eddie Murphy plays so many characters.
Yeah, four characters. Yeah. Same with Arsenio Hall, actually.
Now, that was the first time I had seen that, because he played a white guy in The Thing, and it was actually the makeup was good enough.
Yeah, he was so good, I was convinced that wasn't him.
Exactly, I didn't know. And then the credits ended with Eddie Murphy. I'm like, what the fuck? That guy? It's so, so cool. And then, of course, it became a thing after that. But this is the first time it happened. So, you know, I'm down.
He rode that horse into the ground, didn't he?
He did. I mean, look, if you got Eddie Murphy's career, at a certain stage, you just don't give a shit. But this is when he did.
Yeah. By the time you got to Norbit, nobody gave a fuck anymore.
No,
Norbit.
Man. Did you guys ever watch Boomerang? Because that was I love that one too. Eddie Murphy was the king at the time, so you know.
No, I never saw that.
Boomerang? No? Okay. Well, it's another one.
Oh, no, I didn't see that one either.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that one. There you go. So, yes. Unless you had anything to say?
Nope.
Coming to America is our number two.
Yes. All right. Well, this is it. The big reveal. Oh, hang on. I think we've just worked out what your number one is. But count us back three, 10 through two, and then reveal your number one, boys. Best 80s comedy.
Manster.
All right, I'll do the 10 through 2. You'll do the number 1. So number 10, we had Spaceballs. Number 9, Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Number 8, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Number 7, Major League. Number 6, Airplane. Number 5, Fletch. Number 4, Better Off Dead. Number 3, A Fish Called Wanda. Number 2, National Lampoon's Vacation. And number 1,
Frank Drebin, Police Squad. And don't ever let me catch any of you guys in America again. On the files of Police Squad.
I forgot about that opening.
It's truly, it's the funniest movie of the 80s. I mean, alone, if the only part of the movie that was the actual movie was the last 20 minutes of the baseball game, it's the funniest movie of the 80s.
Enrico Palazzo!
Look, it's Enrico Palazzo! Reggie Jackson, I Must Kill the Queen. We talked about it. I mean, I think one of the most interesting things about it outside of the comedy realm is that in today's day and age, we're so used to seeing movies that are made from failed TV shows. You know, you had Firefly and Serenity, which, you know, that was weird that happened. And it's happened a few more times. This is 30 years ago, and it was a TV show almost nobody had ever heard of. And somehow 5 or 6 years later became a movie. Like, that's unheard of.
Very unusual.
And then not only to be a movie, it's the funniest movie of the 80s in our humble opinions.
And became a series.
And spawned two more sequels, neither of which are terrible.
Sequels, yeah.
I mean, they're not as good, but they're both still very good.
I like both of them. I like them both. Yep. Yeah, definitely.
The third one's okay. The second one is great. The only thing with the second one is if you ever watch the second one and watch the show, there's so many recycled jokes from the show, but it's still funny.
I honestly didn't mind. I really like the show too.
Oh, because we weren't aware of the show first. You know what I mean?
But I looked up the show, saw it, and then saw the second one, and still liked it. So you know, there you go.
Oh no, still good. Definitely still good.
All right then. Well, we got to reveal our 10 through 2. You count us through our 10 through the 10 through 2.
Then you go the 1. All right, here we go. 10. This is Spinal Tap. 9. Spaceballs. 8. Airplane. 7. A Fish Called Wanda. 6. Major League. 5.
Suck my dick.
Okay, my balls. Motherfuckers waiting on that shit like a mother. All right. 5. Police Academy. 4. Ghostbusters. 3. Naked Gun. 2. Coming to America. And our number one poll.
Our number one is, well,
surprisingly interesting. Yes.
It was high on both our lists, which is why it climbed here. Our number one is John Hughes' vehicle again. The greatest thing Matthew Broderick has ever done or will ever do. It's Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Word.
Of course, yep.
I think we were the right age, John. And of course, at that stage, Lloyd was 43 and had 3 children, and I was on his 3rd marriage.
No, I was still watching this movie.
Yeah. I mean, it probably would have been, you would have been about the right
age. No, you would have been able to drive, right? Man. That means you could have gone into a parade, sang Twist and Shout, fucked that woman, had a weird best friend, got a Ferrari. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could have done all that shit.
Whereas we could just dream about it at that particular age. But he was so cool. And I know there's a narrative now that says, what an abusive prick of an asshole he's dealing with.
That's fine. That's just.
But for me, even now, okay, here's a true story to show us my love for this film. Do you guys do like a workplace sort of Christmas thing where you buy a hidden gift and you put it all in a pile and then everybody sort of picks one
Stealing
at a time?
Santa.
Stealing Santa or Evil Santa, as it sometimes called?
I think
called?
We call it, Secret Santa.
Secret Santa.
So it can be secret or it could be one where you can steal everyone's gift. So I went, you know what? It came out in Blu-ray. I bought it one year, wrapped it up. I'm like, no one else is going to buy it. Get this one. And I just, at the end, I just went and stole it off the person who got it. That was my Christmas present to myself.
Nice.
Hey, you know what? Merry Christmas.
So I think this film is hilarious from go to O. I think Matthew Broderick's brilliant. And what really, just some of the humor in it, which it's laced throughout the film. It's not laugh out loud funny like Naked Gun. 100% agree. But it's just so clever. And it But it all pays off so well.
Yeah, and it's all escapism. Like, the idea that you could play hooky from school with your woman and then go in a parade and the whole town loves you and shit like that. It's so escapist 80s good shit. But it's like at the time, yeah. Forget about it, man. We loved all that shit. And he wore a fucking leopard print vest, and I still think he was cool.
Yeah.
So, that's right.
It helps having Mia Sara on his arm.
You know, but like at the end when he's jumping all the fences and trying to get home in time, and then he stops because there's two hot women standing behind Ferris Bueller. You know, I'm like, see, because that's just funny, all right? And then he gets in time, and then, you know, the idea of the machinations, because he sets up the fucking thing, the mm-hmm. dummy in his room, that's just brilliant. That makes you think it's like...
Boombox and the pre-recorded stuff.
He had 80s like technology doing like, you know, snore effects and stuff. This motherfucker was hooked up. He's James Bond, man. Forget about it.
He's MacGyver.
He is, right?
Arguably the best fourth wall breaking film ever made.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, very
possible. And don't forget, he's not only Ferris Bueller, he's Abe Froman.
Yeah. Sausage King of Chicago. Anyway, that's our number one. So hopefully you don't... is that okay as a choice? Obviously you don't agree with it.
Oh, yeah.
It was on our long list.
Okay.
It was on our long list.
John was floating between a couple of his number 10, and that was one of them.
All right, hit us with some of your...
We'll just have to run down them because we are running short of time because in this chat thing we're going to run out in about 10 minutes. So,
yep, so we're almost out soon. Just, give us some greatest hits of your...
They're almost made. Also ran. Right. Honorable mentions.
All right, I'll do some greatest hits. Stripes,
mm-hmm.
Coming to America,
oh, yeah.
Caddyshack,
oh, yeah.
Johnny Dangerously, and Ferris Bueller.
Very nice.
Yeah, and the biggest one that didn't make my list, because Lloyd didn't want it on there, and I'm going to still, it's peripherally on my list, is Top Secret, 1984.
Yep. Oh, I hated that.
Oh, wow. Okay. Val Kilmer, right? His start.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I love that movie.
I loved it too.
All right. And likewise, Wayne, just run down them.
Okay. Heathers. I said Twins. Paul hates Twins. Clue. This Top Secret. All of Me. A Christmas Story. A Breakfast Club. There we are. So
all of mine have been mentioned already, so we can gloss straight along then to the listener feedback, which is the segment where you give us your feedback on the topic at hand in the Pop 10.
Let's go.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Kicking off this week's Pop 10 with John Huslander, who said number 3, Coming to America. Number 2, A Fish Called Wanda. And number 1, Ghostbusters. So all mentioned today.
Ping.
Chris Uni, patron of the show, said changes all the time, but today, number 3, this is Spinal Tap. Number 2, Spaceballs. Yeah. And number 1, don't think any of us mentioned it, Stripes.
We just did, but yeah.
Oh, you did on Honorable? Sorry, yep. I missed it. Mm. My apologies. Mario Leon said 16 Candles, Weird Science, and Naked Gun.
Uh-huh.
Weird Science.
And 16 Candles, bro.
16
Candles. It's a good one.
Yeah, okay.
Bill Paxton.
Joey DiCarlo, the aforementioned between us off mic from the So Is It podcast, said number 3, Airplane. Number 2, Dead Heat. And he'll be very pleased with your list. Number 1, Better Off Dead.
What's fucking Dead Heat?
Dead Heat's like the two cops get killed and come back as like zombies or falling apart.
I've never even heard of it.
It's like Treat Williams.
Yeah,
and
I don't know that.
I can't remember the other guy's name.
Fucking deep cut.
Joe Pescopo.
Joe Pescopo, thank you, John. Stephanie Coley gave her a whole 10, but I'm just going to read through 3 for time. Number 3, Blame It on Rio. Doesn't get enough
love. I love that. Michael Caine.
Number 2, Ghostbusters. Number 1, here you are, boys. Vacation from 1983. Chris Frodel said it took a long time to whittle this one down. Police Academy, UHF. I think over here it was called the Vidiot
from UHF. UHF. Yeah.
With Weird Al Yankovic. And Monty Python's Meaning of Life. Yeah, okay.
Oh, old school.
Mary Clement Hill said number 3, Trading Places or Raising Arizona tied for me. That's a bit of a cheat, Mary, but okay, we'll let you have it.
Love Trading Places.
Number 2, Caddyshack. And number 1, Airplane. Duh. So, okay.
Nice.
And lastly, from Chad Fackler, this is tough, tough, tough for an old guy. Number 3, Weird Science. So, what would you like, little maniacs, like to do first? I guess that's a quote from Kelly LeBrock.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2, Better Off Dead. Here's the quote that he went with. Gee, I'm really sorry your mum blew up. Ricky, guess you won't be able to eat any spicy foods for a while. And number 1, real genius.
Val Kilmer.
Yeah. Mitch Taylor, what are you doing? I don't know that.
That's a ringer, dude. Yeah, okay. Very nice.
Well, that is
no one said Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Was it on Wayne's original?
I fucking loved it.
That
was a big bet. Yeah.
No, he didn't mention it in the topic.
No, but yeah, it was on my original list. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. That's it for today's topic. Two, I think, very good lists. Very similar to start with. I'm glad we branched off a little bit towards the end there. Thank you, gentlemen, so much for being up late on a Saturday night to do this with us. We really appreciate it. It's great to have you on the show. Can you tell us?
Thank you for having us.
Very welcome. Can you tell us how to find Pint of Comics and so they can now go over and give you guys a red hot listen?
You can find us on any good podcatcher. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Ring the little notification bell there. On Facebook and Twitter, it's at Pint of Comics. And on Instagram, it's at Pint_O_comics.
Beautiful.
Check it out. Great show. Really enjoy listening to the boys get deep into it, especially the countdown episodes. I mean, obviously, I'm
Biased
towards that. But I really enjoy the way you guys go back and forth. And particularly John gets really annoyed at people getting outside the brief. I can relate, mate.
The Paul of the group. I see what's going
on. Guilty of going outside.
This fucking guy, that's all I'll say.
I can do whatever I want. I'm the manster.
All right. Well, we haven't actually decided what we're doing next week on the show yet. So
we'll figure it out and get back to you, folks.
Come back to you on that one. But here is brand new news. Now, you want to find anything to do with the countdown? Go to our website. It's called thecountdownpodcast.com. Looks like shit, but it's out there, and at least there's a structure around it.
It's
so
the first draft. It's the
first draft of it, but now you can go there. It's got links to everything that we do, including the Podbean site. And
I haven't actually seen it yet, but I will see
it. I'll show him later. But that's our easy way now of just getting out of this particular moment of the show. So,
word.
Hooray.
Yeah. Nice one.
All right. Thanks again so much for joining us, John and Lloyd. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having us on. Seriously, we love your show.
You guys rock.
All right. Light of my week.
Good to hear.
Come on. All right. And we'll get out of it the way we always do. Thanks again for listening, all you wonderful people at home. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
My name is John.
Yeah, my name is Lloyd.
And we will... and this has been the soundboard.
No, fuck the soundboard, slut.
I almost forgot. That was you're a disgraceful
bitch.
It's
okay. Just fucking go...
You can't handle the truth.
All right. Fucking hell. You lost the whole audience. You lost everyone, you stank pussy whore. Jesus, all right.
You think that, but you're going differently. We'll catch you next time. Cheers. Straight along then to the listener feedback, which is the segment where you give us your feedback on the topic at hand in the Pop 10.
Let's go. For a change, Paul can't read every cunting fucking thing that we got in because we are short on time. This is going to be great.
All right. I'm putting that in as a blooper.
Go on,
so listeners can know you're the asshole,
suck
not me.
Suck on some dicks. Suck this dick.